Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes you can take a break from a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
He's a doctor, a PhD of astrology, and I'm so excited to have him on today because we haven't gotten to this subject we've tried to get to in the last couple weeks, have we, Ron?
Yes, that's true.
I am so super excited. So, everyone, you are listening to Dr. Ron Cole. He is an astrologist. He is amongst many things, but we're going to say that he wants to be known as astrologist. So he has so many talents, and I love this man. He shares my birthday, so he has to be, like, fabulous and spectacular. If you want a reading from him, I'm going to tell you it's not like a reading you'll get from, you know, us psychics. It is a really Mitai's astrology chart of your life. It even past lives, future existences, and what you're here today is in your chart as soon as you take that first breath. So it is the coolest reading you will ever have. It's a necessity. I always feel it's not a luxury. It's a necessity to know how to navigate and what tools you came in with. So if you'd like to get a reading from Dr. Ron Cole, which is astrology, your birth chart, or updated charts, Saturn return charts. He does so many things. If you get into astrology, you would know that your birth chart is the beginning map, and it tells you all about your life, but everything changes year to year, so different aspects might be there, and he gives you what you work with that year also. So I do it every 6 months or 8 months, Ron, and I suggest that everybody that gets into it really helps. It really helps. It's a roadmap for you. And so if you want to get a reading, an update, astrology chart, or anything astrology, please write to Ron at livingastro, LIVINGASTRO, at AOL.com. In the subject bar, please put reading or Bonnie Albers on air. He gets so many emails. He doesn't open up anybody he doesn't know or anything that doesn't say astrology reading and then where you got it from. So please put that in the subject line. And I am so excited, and that's why I'm not going to talk about myself today because the show is shortened today, to talk about what's going on in the sky. So hi, Ron.
Well, hello, Bonnie, and hello, listeners. We have the moon in Taurus today. And
that's why everybody's so stubborn.
To each other. Sun's in early Virgo, moon's in early Taurus, and I mean very early Taurus. But, you know, Bonnie, there's been something which you just said that's been on my mind to talk about for a couple of shows now, and that is during the European Middle Ages, the Arabic astrologers of the world, and they were at that time the greatest astrologers on the planet, rivaling even the Chinese astrologers, they did massive amount of research. And what they discovered is something that we all should know, and that is along the zodiac belt, where all the signs of the zodiac are, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, all the way through Pisces, there are stars that are fixed or that are in those constellations or signs. And
wow.
The Arabic people began to notice that certain stars had certain characteristic influence on any planet that was at that point of the zodiac. And so they began to do the research on what we now today call fixed stars. And because they are pretty consistent in staying at that same point, they only move once. They even move a slight degree even in 72 years, so they're pretty fixed.
Wow.
What that means is they began noticing that certain stars emanated different kinds of energies. Now, remember, a star is like our own sun. It has an entire solar system of planets associated with it. And because of that, I want you to know that they began to realize some of these stars emanated some negative influences or harsh energies, and others very positive ones. So,
can we take the negative ones and get rid of them? Because I don't like the negative ones.
There's a lot less of those.
I'm going to hand them to you.
Well, what happened, Bonnie, is they began to realize that, well, at that time they weren't thinking of planets moving around the sun like we know today. We've now discovered all these planetary bodies. We know that they are there. We are in a huge number of discoveries now. But some stars emanated a negative energy, and that means the planets in that solar system were under that negative star's influence. So they weren't necessarily very good energies, and others were very positive, just the opposite. So let's go into some of these. Are you ready?
I'm ready, but I got to add to you, because I know, like I said, we've got a really cool show today, and we are going to get to the middle of the show or the next half an hour or about 20 after. We're going to be reading somebody's chart, which is going to be cool. But I got to ask you something. Well, how do you know stars? How do you know that they have negative influences? Like, how do you determine a star has negative influences or positive influences?
They discovered that no matter what planet was on the point where that star was. And remember, when I say fixed stars, the planets are sitting on top of that star as we look out to space, and the planet is covering or lined up with that star. They noticed that certain stars would corrupt or cause challenge for any planet that was there, and other stars created just total opposite. It was a positive or boosting positive energy for that planet. And
okay.
So this is going back for eons of time and centuries of research. And then as we've become more scientific in recent decades, people all over the world have been seeing the initial studies that the Arabic astrologers first discovered, and they're finding that they are 100% right on, that these people were so good, they were even looking behind the planetary bodies and seeing the very star that planet was moving across. And so in the different degrees of the zodiac, and not every degree, so there's 360 degrees, but there's certain stars that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
Like, for example, the Pleiades. The Pleiades is at 29 degrees Taurus. At that point of the zodiac, there are so many stars sitting together that it looks like a little small cloud in outer space when we look at it. And there are seven bright stars and many less bright stars. The Pleiades is the point of feminine power. It's the point connected to the goddess energy, the female
Woo-hoo!
Power of creation in the universe, and the feminine vibration. It's considered very fortunate or fortunate, and it gives psychic insight. It is said to have connection to the levels of intuitiveness. And the Pleiades is also called the Seven Sisters because there are seven bright stars. And again, we've got the feminine energies.
Wow.
So even back then, the Pleiades were given these kinds of terms, and they sure are true.
I love that. Seven Sisters.
Now,
oh, my God, I can't even take one.
Aldebaran, depends on how you pronounce it, Aldebaran or Aldebaran, is at 9 degrees Gemini. This star is considered very fortunate. It's a star of royalty. Many people born into royal families have this star prominent. It gives high honors and courage. And, again, these are just keywords that the people...
What is the name of that star? What is the name of that star?
Aldebaran. Aldebaran. Some pronounce it Aldebaran. And
okay. Where is it?
It's at 9 degrees Gemini. So
okay.
You can't have something at 7 or 6 or 5 Gemini influencing this star. It has to be smack dab right on 9 degrees Gemini. The same thing with the Pleiades. It has to be right on 29 degrees Taurus. Because one degree difference could also be on another star. That's how these are specifically delineated. Now,
wow.
I know there was a movie named Beetlejuice released years back with...
I love that movie.
A star with that name, but it's not spelled at all like they did in the movie. It's spelled with the Arabic spelling. It's pronounced Beetlejuice, but it's spelled B-E-T-E-L-G-E-U-S-E. B-E-T-E-L-G-E-U-S-E. And it's at 28 Gemini, and this is one of the challenging stars. It's a star of violence, danger, and even calamities. In other words, many people born with violent tendencies or were the victims of certain amounts of violence may have had a planet or major point on the star of Betelgeuse. So that solar system is not considered a very positive one.
I love that movie, too.
Serious. Well, of course, that was made up about a spirit, and it had nothing to do with really the star itself, but it came from the name of the star. Sirius is at 12 degrees Cancer, and it's spelled S-I-R-I-U-S. And Sirius happens to be at the point where the United States 4th of July sun is at. In other words, every single year on July 4th, the sun is moving across 12 degrees Cancer on that day. So
wow.
When the Declaration of Independence was signed, the sun was lined up or sitting over the star Sirius. And this is considered very fortunate.
I guess we were serious.
It's very fortunate. It's the star of fame, leadership, and wealth.
Wow.
It's sometimes nicknamed the dog star because not long after the sun moves over Sirius, shortly afterwards we go into the dog days of summer in the highest heat. But that doesn't have anything to do with heat because the southern hemisphere is not hot. It's going into a cold cycle. But it is a star of fame, leadership, wealth, and it's very fortunate. Now, further on in Cancer, there are stars that are nicknamed the twins. One is called Castor, and the other is called Pollux. Castor and Pollux.
Wow.
Castor is at 19 degrees Cancer, and Pollux is at 22 degrees Cancer. And they are very different, even though they are just a matter of degrees apart. Castor, at 19 degrees Cancer, is challenging. It can show sudden fame and then sudden loss of fame, mischief, and it is not considered a positive placement. Pollux is at 22 Cancer, and by the way, that's where your sun is, and my sun is at the star. We have you have it exactly at 22, and mine is at 21:45, so it rounds off to 22. This is considered fortunate. It's a star of contemplation. It's a star of astrology because it's discovered many astrologers in the world or people who have planets at that point become very involved with astrology. It's a star of audacity, quickness, sharpness, and suddenness. And that means in the good sense, the quickness, suddenness.
Well, now, you know what? I think I want the star of the other ones. I want that royalty star. Can't you switch that one to this one?
You mean the one that we talked about earlier? The one that was Aldebaran? Yeah, that's at 9 Gemini. You've got to have something at 9 Gemini to be influencing that star.
Okay.
Now, the most negative star in the entire belt of the zodiac, as far as we know now, is called Algol. And that's A-L-G-O-L. And it comes from the Arabic because they named these stars. And it means the night monster or the night ghoul. And it's at 25 degrees of Taurus. Now, this is a very challenging star. It can show murder, violence. It's nicknamed the most evil star in the heavens. Danger to neck and throat. Many people with placements there can be strangled or, you know, hung on gallows. And beheading. It's a very negative star. And it's a very violent one, and it's at 25 Taurus. Now, look, 4 degrees away, 29 Taurus is the Pleiades, which is incredibly fortunate, psychic insight, feminine power. So you've got to have the planet right at these degrees. You can't go, you know, a couple of degrees either side because you're actually on other stars then.
Wow.
Not every degree of the zodiac has a star. That's another thing to keep in mind. There's various ones that don't. Now, Astellas is a fortunate one. This is in Leo, 6 degrees Leo. And the Astellas, that's A-S-C-H-E-L-L-U-S, this is a psychic star, giving psychic insight. It gives great changes in society. People that have great influences with creating things that were very changeful for society and society's people at planets or points are at 6 Leo.
Wow, I have a lot of planets in Leo. How about stars? Do I have any stars?
You could possibly have one right on the Astellas, which is at 6 Leo. There's another one in Leo at the ending of that sign, 29 Leo. That's Regulus. That's R-E-G-U-L-U-S. 29 Leo. This is fortunate. This is also considered a royal star, a star in which many people born into royal families have this importance. It's the star of nobility, power, and leadership. Now, how did they do this? They didn't just look at a star and say, well, you're going to be a royal star and you're going to be a bad one. They just studied and studied and studied mass, untold mass numbers of people's planets. And they began to find that no matter what planet it was, it could be Saturn, it could be the sun, it could be the moon, it could be Mars, on any of these stars, the star colored the influence of that planet. And these were the characteristics that the stars had in their coloration factor.
That is amazing.
we covered the most negative start. Now let's go to the most positive one in the whole known belt of the zodiac, and that's Spica. That's spelled S-P-I-C-A. Spica is at 23 degrees Libra. Now, this one is known by people who don't even study fixed stars. That's well known. This is called the sweetest star in the heaven. That's the nickname it was given. It
wow.
is incredibly fortunate. Incredibly fortunate. It's the star of wealth, fame, honor, and complete fortune and fortuitousness. So it's one of the most important stars that we have for the good life. And right next door, 1 degree difference. See how close you have to have it? At 24 now of Libra is the star Arcturus. 23 Libra is Spica. Arcturus is 24 Libra, and that's spelled A-R-C-T-U-R-U-S. This is also a fortunate star, Bonnie, and it's a star of artistic ability. Many people who have great artistic talent or musical talent or creative talent have their planets or a planet on Arcturus.
This is so interesting, Ron. I think we need to do this like in a whole hour so that we can break it apart a lot, because I have so many questions about each one of them. I'm just amazed. And since they're fixed, they're not moving, so we can do it really at any week, can't we?
Yeah, these are going to be fixed. They're there our whole lifetime. Antares, A-N-T-A-R-E-S, is at 9 degrees Sagittarius. Now, it's got to be on 9. It can't be in 4 or 8 or it's got to be at 9. This is a fortunate star. It's a powerful psychic insight, but it also indicates adventurousness, honorableness. Often a person can receive awards or recognition for something. And,
wow.
You know, I mentioned on past shows about the galactic center. We now know it's exactly at 27 degrees Sagittarius. And not that long ago, it was at 26 Sagittarius. It slightly moved slightly 1 degree in recent years, recent decades, actually. And that's the very center of the Milky Way galaxy. We're looking directly into the heart and middle core of our galaxy. Well, this is also considered a very fortunate point in the zodiac. It's a source of energy, of motivation, aspiration, alien consciousness flowing to us, and the greatest amount of starlight and power in our galaxy. It's also facing the very core, or what we now know as a black hole in the center of our galaxy, but not a negative source. This is, again, a source of great, great energy.
Wow.
And then Fomalhaut, that's a funny one, F-O-M-A-L-H-A-U-T, Fomalhaut. That's far. This is an interesting story because this is just breaking in the news in the last 2 or 3 weeks. There was an astronomer that had been saying for years there is a planet and even more than one planet circling this star, and no other astronomer could discover this or find it or calculate it. And it was kind of, they were deriding him. They were calling him, you know, Fomalhaut's folly and all kinds of things. Well, we just had a breakthrough. The scientist, the astronomer that had been saying for years he had detected a star there, it's now been detected. And
wow.
And they're going to name that star or give it a name and number. But it's at 3 degrees of the sign of Pisces. And this is a star that gives metaphysical knowledge, spirituality. And in the past, the old alchemists, the ones that were transforming one substance to another, and today modern chemists have this star prominent in their charts because
wow.
of its transformation.
Well, let me ask you, Ron, what did you say that other one was, 8 degrees Sagittarius?
Yes, that was Antares, A-N-T-A-R-E-S. That's very powerful psychic ability. That was the one that can be honorable and adventurousness.
Guess what?
Yeah,
I have.
I
just looked in my chart, and I think I have, 8 degrees Sagittarius something.
Well, 9 degrees, if it rounds off to 9, if it's past 8:30 and 8:35, 8:40, 45, we'll round it off to 9, then it'll be on this star. But wow. These people who have that placement travel a lot. That's why the word adventurousness is applied to that, because they can be great explorers and great travelers.
Wow. Well, Ron, go ahead. Do we have? I want to get to the reading only because I want to be able to talk to about these stars. I'm just too interested, and we're going to have to do a whole hour show on this. So
okay.
I hope, I am just dying. There are so many questions I have to ask you about each placement of those stars, but I'm really glad we got started. But I want to tell everybody and everybody listening, today Ron has not done this for a while, but we have picked somebody to do their chart so you can actually see. It's a very minor, minuscular part of Ron's reading, but you will get the gist of how he does charts. But he is going to give this gentleman his chart in a very short form, but a very packed form. And I am really excited for this, Ron. So I'm bubbling over. I am going to put Chris Reck on for you. Chris, you are on with Ron. Hi.
Hey, Bonnie. Hey, Ron. Well, hello there, Chris. A pleasure to meet you through the phone.
Yes, thank you. A pleasure to meet you as well.
Well,
have you
too.
Have done before, Chris?
No, I've never had my chart read.
Bonnie, do you have any comments before we start? Anything to say? Anything you want to talk to me or Chris about? Things you think might be interesting that the listeners may want to ask that you might kind of think about.
Well, I know that at the end there'll be things that Chris does want to ask. I did tell Chris that you'd prefer nobody to speak because you go right into the reading. And I want everyone to listen because this is the coolest thing you'd ever hear. And everybody, if you like what you hear, of course, it's not your chart, but you'll get almost triple the amount with Ron. And again, please get a hold of him at livingastro@aol.com. If you can't find that, just email me and I will give it to you. So, Ron, I'm ready if you are.
Okay, and Chris, you're ready?
Oh, yes, I'm ready.
Well, I obtained your birth data in advance because I had to set up the chart. And I never mention any details about place, date, or time because that's private. But your chart is completed, and you are born with the sun in the astrological sign of Pisces and the moon in the sign of Gemini. You're born at the first quarter moon. In other words, it was midway between a new moon and a full moon, and the first quarter. And for the rest of your planets, just give you the listing. Mercury was in Aquarius, Venus was in Aries, and now we come to Mars. There is a huge grouping, not two planets, but a lot of planets at the very early part of Capricorn. Mars is at 1 degree Capricorn. Saturn is at 0 degrees Capricorn. Uranus is at 0 degrees Capricorn.
Wow.
Neptune is at 9 degrees Capricorn. Now, when I say zero, that doesn't mean anything's wrong with the planet. It's just the first degree of each zodiacal sign. We divide each sign into 30 degrees, but we don't start at 1 and end at 30. In astrology, we start at 0 degrees as the first and end at 29. So you've got all these planets lined up in the early part of Capricorn, and three of them are exactly on top of each other. Mars, Saturn, and Uranus are 0 and 1. Now, let's go to Jupiter, the biggest planet. It's in Aries, the same as Venus. Neptune back to Capricorn. We talked about that. Pluto is in Scorpio, its own sign, when you were born. Interestingly enough, you've got the sun in what we call the first house, which is the house of the personality, and that's one of the things that struck me when I completed your chart is you've got the ability to become well-known because the sun is the key towards the power that one is able to express outward in the world, their business power, their industrious power, their leadership capacity, and you've got that sitting in the house of your personality, and that's one of the two house placements that is indigenous people that have the capacity to get well-known. Not guaranteed 100%, but it's much more of a boost in that direction than it would be if it were in 10 of the other houses. Now, you were, there are planets in different categories. There are fire sign placed planets, earth sign placed planets, air sign placed planets, and water sign placed planets. And I kind of looked at your categorization. It is normal or average, Chris, to have two or three in each of these categories, two or three in fire, in earth, in air, in water. Well, in three of those categories, you have the average balance. You have two planets in fire, three planets in air, and two planets in water. But earth signs, you have four of them, and that's above average. Earth signs are Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. And you've got four earth planets, and they're all in Capricorn, Uranus, Saturn, Mars, and Neptune, which means that of all these elements, fire, earth, air, and water, earth is the strongest expressed in your chart. And that's going to give you a level-headedness where business is concerned, where organization is concerned in organizing things and running things, whether it's your own business or your business plus an outside business. You've got great industriousness with this capacity. Now, all of those Capricorn planets are in the house of friends. Now, I need to warn you about this because you can have an undoing in this lifetime if you put too much trust in others blindly. That does not mean you should run away from friends or stop forming friendships. I don't mean that, but you have to keep friendships, even those that you consider close friends, with a certain amount of guarded caution, because the planets that are in your house of friends are kind of challenging ones.
Well, that Saturn doesn't mean me.
Mars is there. Uranus is there. Neptune is there. This can give a tendency for friends to be backstabbers or two-faced or be using you for something that they want, something that you can give them, but they're not giving you anything in quality return. So, again, I'm not saying this is all friends. I'm just saying you have to be on your guard against people in the friendship acquaintance-based area of your life. Well, the other interesting patterns of the chart is you've got the moon in Gemini down in the bottom of the chart, which is the area connected to where you live. And you can end up with displacement of having more than one location to live at the same time, like live in one city and location and have something else, like a condominium or other place of dwelling in another location. Your chart is very good for money, by the way. All that Capricorn, even though it's in the house of friends, Capricorn is a hard-working, getting ahead like the mountain goat that climbs and jumps from peak to peak to reach the highest peak in the mountain chain. The upward ambition of that is amazing when you get a lot of Capricorn placements. And then you've got fortunate Jupiter, which is the luckiest planet of all, and Venus, which is sometimes considered the second luckiest, in your house of money. And they're both in there in the sign of Aries. And that's often an indication of affluence or acquiring affluence or becoming well off financially in the course of one's life. So I can understand why you will be considering or directing yourself to having more than one place to live. Not that you're going to be bouncing back and forth between them, but at least having more than one location with a home, a condo, or something else like I just said. And that's indigenous by the moon in Gemini. Now, the moon also indicates your mother and her personality and the people on her side of the family. And the sun indicates the father, his personality, and the people on his side of the family. Well, with the Gemini moon, members of your mother's family could be very intelligent people. A lot of them could have gotten more than one degree or multiple degrees. They could end up working more than one job. And they can also be very changeable. And a lot of these traits could apply to your mother. She could be doing two or three things at one time, and she could be very changeable, say something, either forget about it and or do something else. High level of intelligence, yes, but this multiplicity or dualism can apply to her. And this can also indicate two mother figures in your life. It can indicate a biological mother and a grandmother, biological mother and or a stepmother, biological mother and a sister or some other female influence, because when the moon is in Gemini, the sign of the twins, can often indicate dualistic influences from the mother and the mother's identity pattern in life. But it is very much an intelligent sign. There's also a spirit of youthfulness that, in appearance, that runs in your mother's people. They don't look their age. They will look younger. They will sometimes have baby faces or youthful appearances where even people their own age will look older. They will retain that youthfulness, and that's indigenous when the moon's in Gemini. Now, the sun is in Pisces. Now, that's the father. And emotional people run in your father's family. They are people that could have their feelings more easily hurt. They're very sensitive people. They're very feeling-orientated. They could sometimes have issues in which they may have to have medications or things that they have to take, because Pisces is often associated with the pharmaceutical industry, and that also indicates indications for the need for pharmaceuticals. But there's some really good-looking people on your father's family. While the youthfulness may not be there, that's more on the mother's side and her people, but attractiveness and handsomeness and very beautiful women, some handsome men on your father's people. Many of them will live near water, love water, go on boats, fish, go on cruises, being near the beach, going to the beach, or being in any area where there is water because of the connection between the literal water sign energy of Pisces and the father's side of the family. Now, in the physical body, Pisces rules the feet, toes, ankle, arch, heel, instep, and it also rules the liver. And so members of your father's family could have problems with their feet. Not everyone, but a number of them could, and or issues with their liver. That's why they have to be very careful of pharmaceutical drugs or alcohol excessiveness or anything that could have a negative effect on the liver. Your mother's side is the moon in Gemini, and that rules the lungs, the fingers, arms, hands, shoulders. And that could indicate great dexterity with fingers, with detailed work, but it also could indicate fast-moving fingers on keyboards, piano keys. It can indicate quickness, but it can also indicate, in the time of life going on, sensitivity for swelling or joint sensitivities in the shoulder, like bursitis, arms, fingers, arthritic possibility, and it could also indicate respiratory issues, lungs, and breathing. Again, not every one of these are going to apply. These are just trends that are marked by the placement of the moon and by the placement of the sun. Now, your chart, I don't want you to get too scared about this grouping in Capricorn, because I'll tell you, if you look at astrology books written just before or during World War II, some of the older ones out there, and ones written since maybe 1950 onward, there is such a difference in how interpretations were used. In the old interpretation, this would be considered a very harsh or negative thing to have in the chart, to have Mars conjunct Saturn, Mars conjunct Uranus, Saturn conjunct Uranus, Mars, Saturn, and Uranus conjunct Neptune. But today we realize that you would not have been born at this time, Chris, if you did not need to work with this energy. And the energy is really, this is a very hard-working combination of planets. This is also an upwardly mobile combination of planets. Getting ahead, rising up through sheer effort, through sheer passing of time, through sheer talent. You were born with Aquarius rising. So in your birth city, at the hour and minute that you were born at, the astrological sign of Aquarius was coming up over the eastern edge of the Earth. We call that the ascendant or the rising sign. And in a course of 24 hours, it could be any one of the 12 signs of the zodiac, and it's only determined by the hour and minute a person was born at. Now, this gives you a really good, strong sharpness when it comes to Aquarian energies, Aquarian age things. And the Pisces gives you mystical tendencies, psychic tendencies, spiritual tendencies. And even though Pisces and Aquarius sit next to each other, they pull off of different sides and energies in the metaphysical field. Aquarius is more scientific, it's more astrological, it's more quick and electric, it's more connected to frequency vibration and energy vibration, where Pisces is connected just with psychometry, sensing, gut-level feelings, inner knowing, inner telling, mediumistic ability, psychic talent. They both give the capacity to understand things in an alternative way, but from different directions. And since you have both of them in your chart, you can apply and grasp and understand from more than one direction. You also have Mercury in Aquarius, which is a sign that frequently comes up in a very high IQ mind of a person. This is often a sign of great intelligence, because Mercury in Aquarius gives you the mind of the inventor, the mind to come up with a breakthrough new inventive idea that no one has yet discovered, or a technique or a talent, or something that you kind of earmark it as your technique, your approach, your talent. Because Mercury in Aquarius has been prominent in charts of some of the most brilliant scientific, inventive, and research type of people in the world. And you were born with it, and you were born shortly after Mercury rose overhead. It had just come up over the edge of the eastern horizon into the sky overhead by a matter of maybe even 18 minutes. From before you were born to the time you were actually born, Mercury had risen in that 18 minutes from below the horizon to above the horizon in the sky overhead. So you were born right after the rising of Mercury, and you were born about about 50 minutes until the rising of the sun, as the sun would be the next thing to come up over the eastern edge of the Earth. Now, in relationships, Jupiter, the Mr. Jolly and abundant and growing and positive planet, is in your house of relationships, and it's been there since right around the beginning of June, mid-June. And it's going to be in this house continuously until around the ending of October of 2016. So it's going to be there for over a year yet. And this is very interesting for you for relationships, because whenever Jupiter's moving to the area of the chart, it brings in the possibility for new breakthroughs, new relationships, new meetings of people that you are attracted to, and they are attracted back to you. So this is a very good interconnecting possibility. And it's no rush there, because it's not getting out this October. It's getting out a year from now, so it's going to be in there continuously for at least 13, almost 14 months, actually. And you are in a cycle of growing in a relationship, needing a new relationship, or if you already have one, it's in a cycle of expanding and getting stronger, bigger, larger. Now, you do have a few aspects going on that we need to talk about, and one ended yesterday. Yesterday you had the moon squaring Jupiter. In other words, your birth moon in Gemini was squaring Jupiter transiting in Virgo in the sky. Now, that one did officially happen on September 1st, and that's an aspect that can cause stress in the family, stress with family communications, stress in your home, and getting so busy, getting so hectic that many times things got overblown, almost too much at one time, like being layered on one layer after another. Now, that aspect is already moving away. It's separating. Now, Jupiter is going to oppose your sun, and that's going to be September 3rd. Now, this is very interesting that you're having this reading today, because we're right on the doorway of September 3rd, and here's the natal sun in Pisces opposite Jupiter in the sky. See, your sun is at 5 degrees, 3 minutes Pisces, and on September 3rd, Jupiter will be at 5 degrees, 3 minutes Virgo, sitting directly opposite that. Well, that means appointments, schedulings, things involving your work, things involving you and your administrative qualities, especially when you deal with any kinds of email accounts coming to you in, as far as email or any website. Things could get a little scattered in the next day or two, but just let this transit come and go. It could make you, again, have to deal. When you have Jupiter afflictions, you almost have too many things to deal with at any one time. It's like a thing of excess or a lot happening. Now, in November, you have an aspect hitting November 3rd, November 7th, November 9th, and November 28th. So that month activates very quickly. The first is November 3rd. Now, I'm going to mention this to you so you don't need to be worried about this, but Saturn is going to be opposite your Gemini moon. It'll be in Sagittarius, opposite your Gemini moon. And what happens when that occurs is that can lead to an element of emotional heaviness. Now, nothing's going to be wrong. When you really have that feeling kind of come to you of really feeling like, oh, wow, depressed, why? You have to look and think, why are you depressed? And when you do, you'll find there is no answer for it. Nothing is going wrong. Everything's happening well in life. But the moon deals with your emotions and your emotional self and your emotional body. And Saturn is kind of a heavy planet when it makes aspects of challenge. And what it does when it opposes the moon, and it only does that once every 29 and a half years. So once it gets past this, you won't have it for almost three decades again. But the exact day of that is November 3rd. Now, here's what you need to do. If you find yourself getting depressed, feeling like the weight of the world's on your shoulders, all you do is sit up very strong and straight and look at what you've done in the world. Look at the talent that you have. Look at the capacities you're capable of offering to others. And look at what you've already achieved. So your emotions will be picked up by your own spirit and drive. You won't be turning into a downward spiral or fetal position like some people get when Saturn afflicts their moon. Now, on November 7th, Venus in your chart is being transited over by Uranus. Now, that is really a red, hot, lucky time in relationships because Uranus is the planet of sudden things happening, things occurring without expectation, and this can be good stuff. And so when we start getting past that November 3rd stuff, you instantly get into a period that's quite lucky for a relationship. Now, I told you you were in kind of an overall good cycle for meeting someone or developing and strengthening a relationship between now and late October, almost November of 2016. Well, you've got one of the high points between now and that time around November 7th, because I've noticed in my astrology work that many people meet someone new when Uranus goes over Venus, because Venus is the planet of love and relationships and caring and attraction to someone else. And Uranus is always the planet of the sudden, unexpected directive or element. And it's also the planet ruling your Aquarius ascendant, and it's the planet ruling the new age because it's the ruler of Aquarius. And it's going over your Venus in Aries. Your Venus is at 17 degrees, 29 minutes Aries. And in the sky, on November 7th, 2015, Uranus will be at 17 degrees, 29 minutes Aries. So it's crossing over your relationship planet, one of the best. Now, if you already are in a relationship, this is a very lucky time for that partner, for that dating one, for that relationship person in your life. So it's extremely good for two levels. Meeting someone new, which is usually the key for this aspect, or a very high point, lucky point, directed point for someone that you've already met that's already a relationship in your life, in their work, in their business, in their health, in their health, in their life activities and day-to-day activities. Now, just 2 days after that, Saturn squares the Sun. Now, what that is, November 9th, and when you see Saturn squaring the Sun, this again happens only once in 29 and a half years. So once this is over, you won't be getting it again for almost three decades. This is a good time to do a lot of futuristic viewing as to where you're going, how your talents and empowerment or abilities to help others will be applied for the future, goal setting, and to clear up and release stuff that is within you that could be a block or a sore spot or standing in your way for success or delay it. This is a good time for self-reflection and clearing house times of stuff you no longer need that isn't really within you, good for your own directive. And also to set, point number two, goals and future going things ahead. So clearing stuff out you don't need and then putting a zero, like shooting arrow up ahead for that which is coming. And then on November 28th, this is one of the best transits you'll ever get. Saturn is moving over the top of your chart. The top of your chart is 7 degrees Sagittarius, and that's the area that is on the beginning of the house of your job, work, business, and career. And starting November 8th, 2015, and going on for a little over 2 years,
till
about the very beginning of 2018, so let's say from November 2015 to January 2018, Saturn will be moving through your career house. Now, it does not enter it until November 28th, the week after Thanksgiving, or a couple of days after Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, by the way, for those of you listening from Canada. And this is considered, in the astrological field, high points in people's job career cycles. Out of every 29 and a half years, we get 2 to 2.5 years of Saturn moving through our career house. And you're about to get that starting on November 28th of this year. And it won't leave. It's going to stay there through the last month of this year, December, and then all of 2016 and all of 2017, and then leave in early 2018. You will be looking back. When we get to 2019 and 20, you'll look back to things that happened starting in November of 2015, through 2016 and 17, that were incredibly important foundation-laying things for you career-wise, work-wise, business-wise, exposure, things that could deal well with writing you will do or articles about you or shows that you could be on or people beginning to have word of mouth talking about you and your work and referring others to you as well as coming in themselves. This is a powerful, powerful business activating business luck, but it's work too. It's not just handed to you on a silver platter, but what you do is this is your empowerment period, and you've not had this in your life ever before. Saturn has gone from the 11th house where it was at birth through the 12th house, 1, house 2, house 3, house 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's still in 9 today. And then it's moving into the 10th house on November 28th. And that's the house of one's career. And that is why I am so just overflowing with optimism here about you and your career and the work. And a lot of people just look at Saturn from the old writings they read about in astrology, maybe some old notes they had as being just only bad. But it's not. It's a planet that is to our career, our job, our business, our success in life, our industriousness, our work capacity, our hard work, and what we earn from putting in the effort to work. And when it comes through the career house, it's rewarding you and emphasizing even stronger your talents. And you've got a very strong Earth-based chart. I mean, although you have planets in fire, which is the element of energy, air, which is the element of intelligence, water, Pisces is a water sign, for example. That's the element of emotions. You've got more in Earth than these other three. And Earth is business. You've got an extremely good business mind, a good business chart. You're inventive. You not only have just a logical, organizational business mind, you also have the mind of an inventor and a reformer and a new idea person and a new technique and a new breakthrough idea concept, which not everyone has. And also, I noticed that, let's see here. I think we've talked about most every planet. We didn't talk about Pluto. And everyone who's listening, please don't get caught up in the recent years in which Pluto has been demarked as no longer being a planet in our solar system. I think these this recent flyby from Pluto in July gave people a whole new regenerative look at this planet. And yes, it's small, but so is Mercury. And it is still very important. It has never been kicked out of usage by astrologers because since its discovery in 1930, research was done all around the world on that planet astrologically, and we found that it rules the sign of Scorpio. Well, you were born during the time Pluto was going through Scorpio. Now, let me tell you how rare this is, Chris. Only 11 and a half years out of 248 years. Out of 248 years, only 11 and a half years of that time frame is Pluto going through Scorpio.
Wow.
And it was almost smack dab in the middle of its transit when you were born. And so people born perhaps about 5 years before you and 6 years after you, and those born at your time, all were the ones who had Pluto in Scorpio in its own sign, the strongest sign for it and the sign where it would be at home. And you've got it on the ninth house, which is the house of the world, which is the house of interconnecting to others in a global, large, grand, major, big, expansionary way. Now, this is the house that deals with travel and vacations and higher-level education and the use of the higher philosophical, deep-thinking mind. It rules all of that, but it's also the house of global interconsciousness. And having this planet, which is a planet of getting answers from deep inside of you, deep inner knowledge coming up to the surface, you've got the ability to make a mark for yourself by writings and books and articles that others write about you, as well as writings you do yourself, and talents that you have that can be understood by people in other countries who speak other languages, because this is also the house of multilingualness, all the different languages of the world. So this is a very interesting thing to have Pluto in. Do you have any questions? I've just been talking, but I don't know if you have any questions about anything.
No, I mean, you touched on a lot, because my main question was, I mean, I feel like I've been very challenged in business for like a very long time, just not being able to, you know, I feel like I've not been able to move forward in a lot of places.
There's no question about it, Chris. Not to interrupt you, you still have some challenges going on now from Jupiter opposing your sun and squaring your moon, which are both hard aspects, and from Saturn opposing your moon and squaring your sun. All of that stuff is going on now, and the last one ends before Thanksgiving. Actually, I think the last one is November 9th, but things switch noticeably at the ending of that month and beyond.
That is amazing,
yeah, right.
Chris.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Well, wait, can I ask a couple questions? Because I know Chris, you know, I've got a butt in here. Where's Chris's north and south node? What did he come in for, and what did he do before?
North node is in Pisces, same as the sun, and it's in the first house, the house of the self, the personality, the one people see, the one that others see you look, which you show to the world. What you look like to the world. And the south node's in Virgo, in the house of relationships. Well, that means in this life, you are really meant to come in with Pisces energies, working with intuitive, spiritual, healing-orientated sensitivity to energies and vibrations, frequencies and vibrations, and to work with the intuitive, psychic side of yourself. In a past life, with the south node in Virgo, you got too caught up with worldly details. You got too caught up with the machinations of the world, and you were too caught up with just pleasing a partner. Everything was for a partner. Everything was to make money or to supply the need and wants of a partner, and you kind of lost yourself into the morass of the demands of a marriage partner and a partner issue, and you got caught up in the detailedness of worldliness, and you did not work with or open up or even have any interlude with your intuitive spiritual self. Now, this flips around. This becomes the big thing in this life, the spiritual, psychic, intuitive, mystical qualities. No matter what, never underestimate yourself in these areas. And no matter what, even if someone doesn't understand what you do or mocks it, you know what you do, and you know the good that you have, and you know the talent that you have, and you know it is genuine, and it is genuine, and that North Node in Pisces is the power that I have comes a lot from the intuitive side, the mystical side, the spiritual side, and it may take a while to get the ball rolling, but once it rolls, it's a perpetual motion machine.
Wow. And can I ask another question? I know Chris is probably going to not ask himself. What does he have in the seventh house?
In what house again?
In his seventh house of love,
only
love partners.
The south node in Virgo. See, that's why I said in the past life there was all this pleasing a partner, giving a partner everything, working for a partner, giving up one's own personality and just making it an amorphous self to just give, help, aid, be for them, buy for them, give them gifts. And then
Well, if you were older, you could do that for me, but you're a lot too young, not in this lifetime.
No, that's what we moved away from. Partners are no longer supposed to be on a throne that you serve them like a slave or like a thief, which is what I'm trying, not a thief, but a thief, which is serving them. So what you need to do in this life is realize partnership is there. You've got Leo on your house of partnership, so you'll attract someone who is very energetic and quite a dynamo and funny and witty and quick with humor and quick with words, but they also have a very analytical mind. They can think and analyze and take things apart, see what motivates it, see the inner power behind something. But with Leo there, you can attract a very sunny, dynamic person.
Wow. Well, now I'm going to hand it over to you, Chris. Is there anything else that you would like to know from Ron? Because this is an unbelievable chart. So, because you know me and Capricorn, I'm like going to go cry.
Now,
but
speaking of all that Capricorn, watch your knees, Chris, because Capricorn rolls the knees of the body, the bones and bone joints of the body. It does not mean you're going to have bone joint problems all over the place. But you do have to be very, very careful about your knees. Bumping your knee, dropping something on your knee, or any kind of knee sensitivity to any kind of pressure or tension on it. And also, to some extent, also the teeth and gums and other bone joints. But all of this is ruled by Capricorn.
Chris, please ask.
No, that was good, really. Yeah, I actually did. I injured my knee when I was younger, so my knee has already been injured.
Well, when I see this many planets in Capricorn, and Mars is one of them, and Saturn is another, this means you don't want to be in fear, don't live in fear, but don't underestimate the ability to kind of baby and watch your knee joints and the knee itself, because when a lot of Capricorn placements fall in the chart, it's definitely the knees. Now, you are a Pisces, but if you had a lot of planets in Pisces, not just the sun, there would be more sensitivity with foot issues or toes, ankle, arch, heel, and instep. This might give you a tendency for your feet to get warm easily or cool easily and change in temperatures, but it's not always going to give you foot problems. That could run in your father's family more than with you.
Well, can I ask another question for Chris? If you were looking at this chart, And they asked you what would be the best, and we all know what he does, but what would be the best course of financial, action? What would I be when I, what would be the best occupation for me? What does it have in his chart? What's the tendency?
I would say work with your intuitive qualities, work with your writing qualities, and work with your teaching qualities. And they have to be, to some level, spiritual, metaphysical, intuitive, mystical, and even on any realm of the psychic. And keep gathering and fomenting ability with clients. Use the sphere of influence of anyone that comes in for a counseling session with you, to you, as anyone that they know through their umbrella of influence, send you referrals, and those people sending you referrals. And work on building up the realm of referral business. Also, start teaching even if you say, well, I'm just new at this or it's just natural, how do I teach it? Well, teach it the way it naturally has always been with you and how it's always been felt and understood by you. And believe me, people will get it. When their students there, they're there for the reason to get the insights and the knowledge. Even if it's just working with students and practicing these different forms of visualizations, meditation, insight, energy, or gathering psychic spirituality.
That, I mean, that is such a cool chart. I'm in awe. I want some of the things you have, and I would love to have that, the 2 or 3 years coming up. And I think you were told by somebody who called in on the show, who is a psychic medium, that in 3 years you wouldn't even recognize yourself. And that is when Saturn actually ends. So all of this is going to be there. I mean, how accurate could that be? And Ron, confirmation for you in the chart. So I think that's pretty cool. I am going to ask you again, Chris, if there's anything else you want, or we are going to say that I gave Ron your number, and what he does is pretty cool. Everybody who's listening, who you heard on the show was Chris Reck from Minnow Pond. You can see him on YouTube. He's an amazing tarot reader. He reads regular cards, and he is one of the coolest intuitive and psychic ability I have seen. So, and he is on our show. We do feature him on the show. So, Chris, is there anything else, again, that you would like to ask Ron before we end this show?
No, thank you so much, Ron. It was really awesome to hear.
Well, there's one more comment, Chris, before we all say goodbye. Remember, when you look at the sign of Pisces, it's two fish swimming in opposite directions that are tethered or tied together from one fin to the other fin. And that indicates to me the two sexes, female and the male. And you've got great talent in your chart to help people balance out their own qualities by adding the quality of the opposite sex that they have lacking. So men that are not really balanced in their feminine side, you can really have a talent and a power to help them acquire that equilibrium between they, the masculine, and that element of the feminine that they will either have lacking, missing, or not understanding. And just the opposite for women. You can have women who are so strongly overloaded with the feminine that they don't have any procurity or balance in the masculine to help them come to the balancing qualities of the masculine so that there is equilibrium between themselves, between the polarities of male-female, positive-negative.
Wow.
You have great ability to bring that into people and their lives rather than just do a reading. You also have great ability to help people progress through techniques and qualities of work that you're capable of doing.
Wow. I don't even know what sense. Well, that's got to be energy work, Chris. I mean, don't you think, Ron?
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah, that's got to be energy work.
Yeah, exactly. And the sun is very much source of great energy in our solar system, and it's right there in the first house, and that's the house of the personality. And I am not lying to you, great leaders, people who have become well-known names in our heads, our minds, and society and the world from the past, including the present, tend to have the sun in either the first house or the tenth house, and you have it in one of those. You have it in the first house, the house of the personality.
Wow. Well, Chris,
yeah.
I think you – is there anything else, Ron, before I do end the show that you want to tell Chris?
Well, I know that right now you're under some really great stress because I can see that Jupiter is afflicting both your sun and moon, and Saturn is about to and very close to afflicting both your sun and moon. And they just have to run that course of those afflictions. Like I said, the last one will be over after the 9th of November, and you just kind of do the absolute strongest, most focused, best you can, and then by the ending of November, things shift so noticeably, and that's the beginning of that upward dynamic cycle in all ways.
Wow. Well, you never know. Maybe I'll have a show on, like, Sirius Radio or a national TV or a national radio show, and everybody's going to benefit. So what do you think of that one?
Sounds good to me. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I think Chris would be down for that, too. So, yeah. All right, well, I do want to tell you, I want to thank you, Chris. You don't have to get off because I am going to end the show, but I want to tell everybody that's listening and everybody here, I'm going away. I think I've been telling you this because I get so upset that I'm not going to be able to put the shows on. I always think, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do without my show? But it's really Thursday and Friday we're missing and half of today. And then I am, Monday is Labor Day. I will travel. Tuesday, Wednesday, I will not be here. And Thursday, I send my daughter back to New York. So everything goes back to schedule. I think I might throw a show up next Thursday, actually. But stay tuned. You'll get the notice when I do put them up. But after the 10th or the 15th, everything goes back to normal in my life. So please join me, and I hope everybody has a very long and happy and wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dr. Ron Cole. You are always a pleasure, both of you, to have on this show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Chris, it's
all
a
right.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.